The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark, and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there, and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed, for they did not yet understand the scripture, that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We are witnesses chosen by God to witness, to see, to hear, to feel. Daily, we are witnesses to all of these things. Witnesses to defeat, to small victories, to shock, sadness, humor, joy. And of the great momentous occasions of all of humankind, we think about all the different ways that we can be witnesses to things. The most common one, I think, today that binds all of these sentiments together, where all of us can have a shared experience in a powerful way, can come through a movie. Some of the most profound things of human history have been represented through these means. Some of the most powerful, dramatic realities of life that one could ever experience have been portrayed over the last century through these fictional scenes. It's often there in these adrenaline-pumping scenes, full of emotion, where the face of the characters is seen, the sights and the sounds are heard and visualized, where these profound experiences that portray the drama of life can begin to move hearts and leave a profound impact on us. Just yesterday, when I was with my family, in the course of our conversation, they started talking, not prompted by me or this homily, but they started talking about their favorite movies. And those images, those sights, sounds, quotes ingrained upon their memories came to the surface. And they held on to those things. And these things can provide not just a common conversation, but as was demonstrated yesterday and even at times in my own life, even things as simple as a quote can sustain us in our own difficulties. I think the perfect plot to a drama begins in that opening scene in a very gentle way. Soft music, maybe we're starting to see a blossoming romance in a park. But as soon as there's one wrong step made, the fuse has now been lit. A fuse to chaos, which throughout other characters entering into the plot and the scene begins to develop. That begins providing frustration to the family, to the town, to all their people. And as multiple characters enter into this story, it becomes apparent that we're headed towards destruction. Maybe headed in certain movies towards Armageddon. And if it's a superhero movie, then this invincible villain makes himself known as the ruler. As the plot reaches its peak, the plight of the citizens is now severe. And the citizens' last hope emerges into the town square, into the very heart of what represents the people. And as he enters into the scene where this romance, that drama first began, this villain approaches, and as the battle ensues, this figure is the last person standing. He's alone, facing the villain head on. His team nowhere to be found. He's been betrayed by his team's cowardice and maybe their greed. And in this dramatic scene, he reaches up to hold on to that last weapon that he has in order to defeat the evil one. And we've seen it before. It's played out. He's tempted to let go, but he knows that he's the town's only chance. And as he faces this incredible pain, he holds on. And in that dramatic scene where the lightning flashes, where the earth trembles, what's left behind in the end is just rubble. And as the soundtrack lowers to a somber tone or even at silence, the town, even us as spectators, waits. We've all seen the movie. We've all seen it in the theaters. It's been streamed in our homes. If you're old enough like me, you've seen it on VHS. It's been played out in our heart, and it's played out today. You have come to church today, to the empty tomb. After the silence of the Triduum, after the somber waiting, you've come not to a theater to be entertained or moved by emotion. You've come not even to hear the story of salvation, but to participate in it, to become part of the story, witnesses to God's redemptive victory by which he came to save you and to save me, and by which he continues to come and to save us, making us then characters in his very passion, death, and resurrection. Because the price of your ticket has been purchased by the blood of the Lamb, which means you are no longer a spectator, but it means that you are a character, a participant. Because when man, when you, when I found ourselves to be too far gone, it was then, having betrayed God ourselves and the very garden is this earth that he has given us, Christ entered back in. Betrayed by you and by me, Christ, the one that he loved, in order to rekindle that very romance that was designed from all time, entered into the present, entered into our world to face the villain, death itself. And he held tightly to the weapon of God's will and the wood of the cross in order to conquer sin and death and the power of darkness. It was he who experienced the temptation even to give up. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass me by. But in the end, as the earth shook and the temple veil was torn open, that day he gave us entrance into the very presence of his divine life. Here on earth, a glimpse of heaven by reaching down his hand to hold us, to bring us up out of the rubble. This drama comes alive for us as Catholic Christians when we come to the Mass, because we are witnesses chosen to eat and drink with Christ, to eat and drink of that very strength of God's will which conquers sin and death and gives us a profound participation in his passion, death, and resurrection. In other words, the Easter Triduum, Easter morning, comes alive. It is here where in his body, blood, soul, and divinity, he pours himself out so that grabbing to the heights of heaven, he reaches out to pull us out of the rubble of sin, distress, failure, sadness, depression, anxiety, and sin. Christ has come to save us through the sacraments and to make us like those early apostles then, witnesses to his resurrection, witnesses to his joy, and witnesses, as Paul says in our second reading today, to his very glory alive in our hearts. And my brothers and sisters, we are an Easter people. Today we rejoice that the event of Christ didn't end back then, but that it continues, and that the drama of this victory is still ours to be had. So today, As you've come to sit in these pews, to come to the empty tomb, to anoint the Lord with your presence, let us leave like those early apostles, ready to go as the Lord has instructed us to Galilee, to our homes, to our workplace, to that place that we are familiar with, to become a witness to the glory of Christ alive in our hearts, so that everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins through his name and life everlasting. Today, we participate in that final scene of a movie, where after all seemed lost, the citizens recognize that they are now set free. And arising themselves out of the rubble and glory, we cry out in celebration, "He is truly risen. Alleluia, alleluia, Jesus Christ is our King. Viva Cristo Rey."